one who waits one day to find. The prison doors open, the shackles broken, and chaos in the street. Everybody sing with free, 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 free. Everybody sing with free.
So, the jail's open, chaos in the street. She could be talking about Syria. That is Tracy Chapman talking about freedom in the United States. We, of course, want freedom all around the world. And I am now with some very special guests in studio. I have Nadia, Fatima, and Rima, who are all either Syrian or Syrian-American, and they are in contact with some free people in Syria who I actually have on the line with me. So I'm going to open up everyone's microphones. First of all, let me welcome Fatima and Nadia and Rima, all of you. Thank you for having us. And I believe we have someone in Syria. I don't know what to call you, sir. I don't want to call you by your real name because I want to protect you. Maybe you can ask him what name he'd like to be called by in Arabic. Go ahead and ask him. You're on the air, but that's okay. Just what name?
My name?
Thanks a lot. You understand me in English, yes?
Yes.
Okay, I don't want to call you by your real name because I fear for your safety. So please give me just a name I can call you by for this interview. You understand?
Majid.
Okay. Majid, you are right now in Syria, not in Turkey.
You're
in.
Yeah.
Okay, and tell me what you are fighting for.
I'm fighting for my freedom, for my children's freedom, for a democracy, civilized country. That's we're fighting for here.
Tell me, if you could, what you've seen. What the Assad government has done.
Yeah. First, we have to understand why the revolution in Syria. Everyone knows, for 40 years ago, we controlled by this family, Al-Assad family, and our people getting poorer, hunger and ignorance day by day. They did not allow us, to keep up with the Damascus regime for a modern world and our lives as a human beings. So we move in this revolution to take our country, to democracy global. We want to be like a free country. We want freedom to our children, to our women. We want to keep our lives, That's why
Please tell me
forgive my language first.
No, you're doing very good, and I am truly honored just to have you on the radio with me today, and I know what huge risk you are taking, so please be very careful. But tell me, if you would, what you have seen, because the Assad government, as you know, keeps out journalists. They've even shot at journalists. It's very hard for Western journalists to get inside Syria to report on the ground. So tell me what you have seen. Have you seen massacres? Have you seen shooting at civilians? Please tell me what the Assad government has done in the last month.
First, I had my personal experience with this regime because I'm one of thousands, which we tortured in Damascus, in the secret service offices, I don't know how we call it,
You were tortured.
I saw massacres. Yeah, I saw tortures. I saw some people take off their eyes by spoons, food spoons. I saw them get firing at us like this day before 1 year. And say the massacres. This is a very famous day. We lost in that day 120 person. They firing us, they're shooting anything move when they attack some town or some streets, not allowed to open window, to open doors. They're getting inside your homes, they take you out, take your women. If they not found you, they take your baby, they hiding your babies till you're surrounded. I saw all of this, I'm one of people, they burn my homes. They burn my house. They take my wife. I stay in Assad prison more than 3 months. They cut my finger, they break my legs, 17 breaks in my right legs. I saw all of this, you know, son of my sister, he killed in front of my eyes by sniper. They did all of these things, you know, and we are trying hard to make shooting some of the regime actions in the street. But you know, they did not allow us. First thing, they're looking for our mobile phone. When he catch you, he looking for your mobile phone. If you have something in your mobile, that's mean you will get death. They will kill you if they find that you're shooting anything, tanks or shooting or anything from the regime actions. You will get killed.
And you're in danger right now, just talking to me, yes?
Sorry?
You're in danger because you're talking to me right now.
You know, we are hiding, you know. We move from place to another. Every day, every night, we cannot sleep well. We cannot eat well. We live in fear. We live in fear. 24 hours, 7 days, we live in fear. Actually, I'm not afraid for myself, you know. I'm afraid for my babies. I'm one of the actives. I'm wanted. I don't know how to say, but I'm wanted, you know. And they are looking for me. If they cannot catch me, if they catch my baby, they will not, you know, wait a moment to torture or slaughtered, killed my baby. So we move from place to another every night, every day. We live in fear, actually.
Majid, the United Nations has allowed a few monitors in to Syria, as you know, people who are supposed to watch and supposed to stop the violence. It doesn't seem to be working very well.
No, you know. I'll give you one example. Before yesterday, just 2 days ago, these monsters, they came to Dar'a, the south area of Dar'a, and one of the children, and I'll give you the video, one of the children, he had the flag, and he welcomed the monitors. The sniper killed him in front of eyes, these monitors.
In front of the monitors?
Yeah, we have the video. We have the video, you know.
You'll send it to your friends here in the United States. I'll post it on my website so people can see it. Tell me what you need.
You know, I will send it. This is a video and photos. We have this in front of eyes of the monitors. They killed, you know, he's 12 years old. He's just 12 years old. The sniper
12 years
shot him
old.
At the head.
Majid, tell me what you need from the United States. We are here in Washington. We're here in the nation's capital. Members of Congress can hear this radio show. The president, if he's listening, I don't know that he's listening, but if he's listening, he can turn on the radio right there in the White House and listen to this show. What do you need Americans to do to help you?
Now, you know, first, there's something in America and the free world. This is the human rights. And the human rights, the people of America, they're fighting for human rights. We want them to fight for our lives, not our rights, for our life first. We just the free world, you know, to protect us, to protect our souls from this regime. That's why, you know, we talk to the American people. American people, you know, get suffered for how many years to get to the civilized country and modern country. We won't be like modern country. We dream for our children to a modern and democratic and civilized country. That's where we want these people to help us, you know, to make a pressure for this regime to leave.
What do you need? Do you need sanctions? Do you need arms? Do you need a no-fly zone like happened in Libya? What specifically, if I were to call my member of Congress tomorrow, and I can do that like every American can, what should I ask for? How can the United States help you most?
You know, free zone.
No fly zone.
And the safety, you know, crossing path. We want this, you know, we want this immediately. Like me now, I have 5 babies, you know. I hide, you know, sometimes we sleep outside, you know, without homes, without everything. I'm homeless with my baby, you know. We want free zone. We want this safety baths, you know. If we have a free zone, this the military, what we call it, a constitution or something, Mu'assasa Fatima, this military, you know, will leave the Assad. But now no one leaves him because they're afraid for their lives, for their family lives. That's why no one leaves the Assad. But if we have this free zone, Everyone will leave them, you know, because we know this is, you know, a bloody regime. But you know, I, if you allowed me just a minute, you know,
go ahead.
You ask me first. We fight for freedom, you know. Now I remember something for great George Washington when he said once, when somebody take our freedom and speech and opinion, you know, we take like animals to torture us or something like this, you know. We don't want somebody to take our freedom, you know. Malcolm X said, you know, freedom price is death. And now this is what we paid in Syria. We paid our lives, you know, actually day by day, you know, every day we lose 50 or 100, you know. But I don't know why no one cares, you know.
Let me be very clear. Let me help you understand why the United States has not done enough yet. And let me be very clear. I have called on the president for many months now, since 2011. I have been calling on Barack Obama and the Congress to help the Syrian resistance, to help with arms, to help with sanctions, to help with a no-fly zone. I fully support your cause, as I supported the cause of the rebels in Libya. But I have to tell you, the fear in Washington, and it's not my fear, but it's the fear of many politicians, is that in Syria, that there will be civil war, that the Alawite minority in Syria is in control now, and that if the rebels take control, there'll be a religious war. Washington is afraid of radical Muslim terrorists like Al-Qaeda. What can you say to assure the politicians in Washington that if they help you, that you will be true, free, independent, democratic Syria, and you won't have your own control and your own killings just like Assad does?
Not like
this is, you know, just illusions. You know, this is just illusions. You know, there is no civil war in Syria, you know. And I will assure you that because we know our history. 40 years ago, without al-Assad, Syria lives, you know, in peace. Syria live in peace. There is nothing for civil war. This is what a regime want to deliver to the world. They want to say, if I go, if you move me from my chair, you know, there will be a civil war.
Chaos, yes, they
just
say.
Just an illusion. There is nothing, you know. Syria likes spring, you know. Spring beauty, because this is so many colors, you know, by flowers. Syria just like that, you know. Before al-Assad, we have one Christian ruled us. His name, Fars al-Khuli.
Khuri.
Fars al-Khuli, yeah, he's a Christian, you know, he ruled us. And we are happy to have him, to have him that time.
So you support now, religious freedom and democracy and rights for women and everyone having equality and freedom in Syria?
Of course, you know, no one controlled our street, you know. No one controlled our street. We are free people, you know. We love freedom, you know. We want Syria for all. We want our president to stop in the red signal on the street. We want a Christian ruled us for years after he come another from Druze, after come a Muslim. Mm-hmm. The right one ruled us. We don't care, you know, about his religion, his stole, his habits, what he believes, what he don't believe. We want somebody respect the law. We want a law country, you know, law for everyone and above everyone. That's what we want.
Majid, how much time do you have with me? I don't want to make you take any unnecessary risks, and I don't know whether this, if talking to me too long is a problem. How much time do you have? We have many women here who you know who can certainly defend the cause as well. Do you have time to talk more, or is that all you have?
Or
if you
can listen to us. If you like to stay and listen to what we're going to say as well, you
can join in. I realize this is really a wonderful thing, yes. The technology to have you speak directly. And I have to tell you, Majid, my heart goes out to you and to your family and to all the people of Syria. And I have worked very hard to support your cause, and I'm just one voice. But I'm doing my best to encourage people because, to me, there's no excuse ever for a leader to mow down, to shoot down innocent people the way that Assad has done. and we want actually, I want to help you.
Actually, it's honor for me to have me tonight with you. And you know, actually, I think I'm safe tonight.
Okay.
Know? Well, no one knows. Actually, no one knows. You know, I'm far
good.
More than
don't tell me.
Kilometers
don't.
From the military.
Good. Good. I want you to be safe because I know how dangerous it is. Let me go to some of the people I have here. I have Fatima. Tell me how you know. Oh, it's Najah, excuse me. Sorry. I have three women in the studio, and they're all anxious to share. Tell me, Najah, how you found Majid and what you know about his situation.
It's actually through other friends, and Fatima is in direct talking to him constantly and other activists as well. And we have a very strong group of people here in the U.S. They're all Syrian Americans, and they're trying to clarify the picture about what's going on in Syria, inside Syria, because what the Assad has been trying to do all these months, lying about the fact that there is an Arab Spring in the Middle East. There is, the fact is that the Syrian people are fed up with the Syrian regime right now, and they want him to go away completely, him and his thugs. They need to go away.
Tell me, either, and any of you are welcome to join in, Fatima, Rima, or Najah, you can welcome to tell me, just some of the stories. I heard Majid tell me about a 12-year-old talking to the monitors, shot dead by a sniper in front of the monitor's eyes, people having their eyes pulled out by spoons. There's some gruesome facts, but they're important to say because people need to understand this isn't a minor skirmish. These aren't a few people. This isn't a small disagreement. This is some major war crimes going on. Tell me what you know.
As far as I know, it's constantly every single day. They're tortured. They're, people are in prison. We have actually at least 70 to 80,000 lives that we don't know what happened to them.
Missing
this
people.
Missing. That's plus confirmed 14,000 so far. For the last 14 months, United States.
So 14,000 dead.
Yeah.
And 70 to 80,000 who are missing.
Missing. We don't
could
know.
Could be dead, could be in prison.
Right. And we do have sometimes they find by accident like a grave, like a
mass grave.
Mm-hmm. And it's very, I mean, for a human being, you're in the 21st century. We can't imagine what kind of a human being would kill another human being in that a brutal way. And why would they do all this stuff for their own people? You know, just because they're calling for a freedom.
Assad is doing it because he wants to stay in power.
Yeah.
And so he will kill or do whatever he needs to do to stay in power.
It's not only him. It's the people surrounding him, his supporters. And they all criminals. They all needed to be brought to, you know, to judgment.
To justice.
And
so,
justice.
So what can America do? We do have sanctions against Syria now. I read in the Washington Post a couple days ago that the Syrian government is running out of money. Are sanctions going to work?
Yeah. The Syrians are asking the international community not to repeat the same mistake that was made during the Balkan atrocities that I lasted 3 years before the Security Council decided to intervene militarily.
Right, what happened in the Balkans, and I remember this.
Remember?
I do. It was in the 1990s, mm-hmm. and the United Nations actually declared safe zones throughout the former Yugoslavia, mm-hmm. where they said people would be safe and they wouldn't be killed. And I think we've got a problem with our Skype connection. We may have lost Majid.
That's okay.
But hopefully he's safe, and hopefully he can come back and talk with us a little bit further. But what I was saying is that in the 1990s there were supposed safe zones, and people went in. In this case, it was the Serbians went in and massacred thousands of innocent people mm-hmm. who were supposed to be in these safe zones. And so I completely agree with you. I supported our action in Bosnia and Kosovo as well. And I think we've been way too slow, frankly, to get involved.
We don't want to wait and repeat the same mistake, because if we want to wait too long, are we waiting for 100 or 200 thousands of Syrian citizens to be killed till we decide to do something about it? We can't just wait too long. The Syrians are asking the Security Council to take firm action on Syria by creating a buffer zone followed by a no-fly zone to allow defected soldiers and civilians to find a safe haven from Assad's thugs.
So Fatima, let me ask you, what do you think? Fatima.
Okay, I know.
They need to chat about something. Okay.
No, she wants me to translate if she.
Okay. Oh, okay,
understand.
That's fine.
Okay.
If you have trouble understanding.
Yes, I'm understand, but I need somebody translate.
That's fine. Nadia can translate for you. Okay. That's fine.
Go ahead.
No. My question is, Fatima, before we get to what we can do to help the situation, I want people just to know how bad it is, because in Libya we had some press. We could actually see people, the bombs and so forth. There's much less in Syria because, let's face it, Assad is trying to keep out journalists. So just tell me what you've heard. Obviously, don't give me names. I don't want names because I don't want anyone to get harmed. But just what you have heard from people you know, shootings, torture, whatever it is, give me the details so that my listeners know exactly what's going on in Syria.
How many people were there?
Maybe do it sentence by sentence so that we
okay.
get it.
Fatima is mentioning this is one of the most horrible stories that she ever heard from them. The eyewitnesses were telling her that there were two little girls, one is 10 years old and one is 14, and they were raped by so many thugs. Mm. And one of them got pregnant, the 10 years old, and their father, you know, in the Middle East, you know, being raped, a girl getting raped, it's a very shameful thing. So he had to escape to another country to protect those girls because one of them was pregnant and she was only 10 years old.
Yes.
Wow.
Wow. 6 years old, the child was raped in front of his father, a boy. In front of his father by how many?
Six times.
Okay. Every time the father passed out, they put some water and wake him up to see his son getting suffered again. At the end, the boy got, he died, passed away.
Of course.
Another story with Homs.
Yes, in Homs. A mother and a father, 1 year old son.
Mm-hmm.
They took the balcony, the mother and the father to the balcony. Okay. They threw the little kid who's only the baby, 1 year old, from the balcony. What floor? Fourth floor. And then they killed the mother and the father after they made sure they witnessed the death of their own child.
And why are these particular civilians being killed? Why this cruelty to the
yes.
child? Did they march in the streets demanding freedom? Why did they
yes.
do these awful things to these young children?
You know what? Because Bashar al-Assad, mm-hmm. عم نطلع مظاهرات مجرد إنه الشعب السوري بس عم بيطالب بالحرية إنه freedom.
But these people in particular, they're getting killed
yes.
لأنه طلعوا بالمظاهرات
yeah, yeah.
or just because they go and attack them.
No, بس لأنه عم بيطلعوا مظاهرات.
Okay. These people just because they go in a peaceful demonstrations, just because they're calling for their freedom, the least thing they're calling for is just the freedom and democracy. What's so big deal about that to torture and kill innocent children or rape these girls?
It's awful. By the way, we have Majid back with us
awesome.
On the line, and another caller as well. I don't know who that is, but I just added okay. them to it. Majid, are you there with us?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay. So let me say, people are saying here that your cause may be just, but it's very difficult. That you don't have territory like they had in Libya, and that therefore it's very hard to arm you and to help you achieve your goal of getting rid of Assad. You're in need of what? Weapons? How difficult is your job right now?
شو طلباتكم؟ شو بدكم من أمريكا تساوي؟
Okay. First, we want to, from the American people, to understand our situation, really understand, to feel by our pains, you know.
Yes.
To feel our situation, you know. When you feel my situation, you know, you will do something, you know. First, we have to understand, you know, we are not fighting just the Assad regime, you know. This is, you know, محور الشر فاطمة. محور الشر شو أمريكا سمته محور الشر
عبد المجيد إذا بدك أبو أمجد إذا بدك تحكي عربي بترجم لك احكي عربي
خبرين إنه إحنا عم نقاتل محور الشر اللي أعلنت عنه أمريكا وأوروبا وكل العالم الحر اللي هو متمثل بالقيادة الإيرانية اللي تدعم الأسد.
Okay, someone needs to translate for my listeners, please.
Okay. We are, the Syrians are not only fighting Assad himself, they are fighting much greater, it's not only the Assad regime, it's supported by the Iranians, and it's much stronger than just the Assad. Winning over the Assad is winning over Iran as well.
So Iran is arming Assad.
And yes, and Russia as well.
And Russia as well.
You know, I saw by my own eye in Daraa 1 year ago, some Iranian troops, you know, fighting us in our streets, in our country, in our land. Iranian people. I'm one of people, we catch one sniper. He's Iranian, you know. We catch his passport, you know. We shooting all this, you know. We shooting his passport, you know. And we ask him, you know. We brought that time, you know, one translation for us. And we ask him, you know, why you came here, you know. Assad needn't for more troops, you know. He have... mercenary Murtazaqa, mercenary, maybe have a million or 2 million. Yani, why you came here? You know, they came, you know, because this is, you know, Iranian and Al-Assad, they are still, you know, in one side. They're fighting in one side. They don't believe in freedom. They don't believe in civilized, in democracy. You know, they believe, you know, like 1,000 years ago, they believe that people are slaves to them. You know, one family. Controlled one country for 100 years, you know, like kings before, you know, just 1,000 years, you know, this is before. Iran and Syrian regime, they believe like this, and Hezbollah, you know, in Lebanon, Hezbollah, they helped them also. We also saw some troops from Hezbollah. Snipers in Syria, you know, more 60 or 70% from snipers in Syria are Iranian and from Hezbollah.
60. To, wait, no, this
wow,
is,
this is good.
This
information.
Is important. You're telling me 60 to 70% of the snipers are from either Iran or Hezbollah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's sure. You know, when snipers, you know, want to walk on the street, they surround him by 100 from Syrian troops. You know, we cannot even shooting. You know, a photo. It's very hard for us that time. You know, to shoot one Iranian or Hezbollah snipers. You know. They had their special dresses, you know. They put something on their hands, you know, that you can organize. This is from Hezbollah or this is from Iran. To be clear to the Syrian army, this is a special guy, you know. This is a professional sniper from Iran or from Hezbollah. They're fighting us from the first hour to the revolution, you know, because they believe. They are together. If Assad regime will fall, you know, the Iranian strategy in the Middle East will fall with him. So they fight us very strongly, you know. That's why they kill babies, women, they rape, they do everything to kill this revolution.
Now, your organization has reached out to the American government to ask for help?
استعنتوا بالحكومة الأمريكية سألتوا مساعدات من الحكومة الأمريكية أنت والجروب تبعك حاولت إنه حاولتوا بسوريا
actually يعني who will listen to me you know who will listen
not
to
you
me?
I mean your
you
group
know, I listen to you
the world selected some people to talk with you know they selected some people
yes,
to talk with
yes you probably
they
can't
are not
even
talking with us you know we are killed every day no one knows you know no one knows This is our national council, the Syrian
yes.
National Council, you know. These people, they are lived already outside from 30 or 40 years. They talk with our the American government or our other governments, but we didn't know actually what they talk about. There is no result.
So they don't represent you, the Syrian National Council?
No. The media office and the National Council is zero, you know. We cannot know anything from them. We cannot make a communication with them. We are inside, you know. We cannot talk with everybody, you know. If we need a camera, you know, by $200, you know. We have to collect this dollars by dollars from us, you know, from our babies, from our food.
The Arab countries, the Arab League has said that they are going to aid you. Did you know that? And have they helped you at all yet?
Sir, actually, they said something, and in the land, there is something else, you know. Okay, they talk like Saudi and Qatar.
Yeah, the Saudis said.
We're arming the free army. They took from months to arming the free army. This is not true.
They're not arming you.
No one bullet entered to Syria. No one single bullet, you know, entered to Syria. The free army fight with very simple, you know, equipment like guns or rifles, you know, which our soldiers, you know, take with us when they leave the Assad army. No, this is something, sir. And on our facts, there is something else. You know, they help the Syrian people which outside the borders. Like they send them tuna and some foods, you know. This is the help we get. You know, they feed us to Assad to butcher us again.
What do you need specifically?
They just feed us, you know. They just feed us, you know.
Right,
no one does something.
Right, in camps in Turkey. What do you need? You need bullets? You need guns? You need air support?
You know, first we need the whole world to convince that we are right. Our revolution is right. First, people have to understand this revolution to democracy, to freedom, to our dignity. This is what we want. The people outside, you know, discuss something. I don't know from here, from there. But no one understands that we are killing just for our freedom and for our dignity, you know. First, we need the whole world to understand this. Then they stand together against this regime.
Majid,
no one stand together, you know. This is a Russian and Chinese
right.
veto.
Right.
We think this is not just Russian and Chinese veto. This is, you know, global veto. Just not from Russia and Chinese, you know. Because if this is a veto from Russia and Chinese, you know, the America and Europe can do something else, you know. They can help us.
Well, that's true.
There is
NATO. There are things that can be done. Let me tell you this. I think that there are many, many people around the world and in the United States that hear your story and have tremendous sympathy for you and for the Syrian people. I am one of them. I certainly advocate for you. It's hard sometimes. America has fought in many wars, some just, some unjust, around the globe, and it's hard sometimes to get the American people to understand that yet one more country, people are suffering and dying, and it's horrible there. I'm trying very hard to persuade them, and that's why I'm bringing you on the show. But
if we believe in America, democracy and freedom, you know. They must not, you know, rule the world by different standards, you know. By example, in Libya, 18 days, they started to bomb the Gaddafi troops.
Right.
They remove him in one month. And Egypt, this is 80, 90 million, you know. This
right.
is a very important country in the Arab world.
I'll tell you what the government
month,
says.
They remove him.
The government says that in Libya, they liberated the eastern part first, Benghazi. They had territory, and with the territory, it was easier to arm the rebels. It's been very difficult, I know, for you to take any territory. There was a mountaintop, I don't mean you personally, but there was a mountaintop that was taken for a few days. You repelled the Syrian troops, and then they came back. I can't explain, because I don't support the people in the government that don't want to help you, but I can tell you this. With the monitors failing, and with Assad shooting at the people who saw the monitors, the headlines in our local newspaper, the Washington Post, today, talk about the fact that people recognize that the United Nations is failing to solve the problem. And I think that this show and people like you and people like Nadia and Fatima and Rima, who are here in my studios, are helping to persuade Americans that they need to call, in our country, if we call our members of Congress, if we call the President of the United States, we can do that, and they should respond. And it takes enough Americans to make phone calls. That's really all we have to do to help you save lives.
But please, if you send one message from me, you know, from here, we know America through TV.
Right.
This is actually, we, you know, America just through TV, you know.
Right.
And we watch and we were, you know, embracing. We were, you know, shocking by this life, you know. We dream by the American life.
Right.
So don't disappoint us, you know. We watch the American people, how they think, how they help the other people, how they're fighting for freedom, how they're fighting for human rights. We want them to fight for our lives, you know, before our rights. We respect the American people. We like to make a bridge between Damascus and Washington, D.C. You know the Syrian regime for 40 years not allowed us to contact any American. You know, in Syria, if you contact any American now, before the revolution, if you were my friend, they will take me to the intelligence offices and they will torture me. How you know this guy and why you know him? You are Khan.
Betrayer. You're a betrayer.
I'm a traitor. If you be my friend, I'll be a traitor, you know, and they will hang me just because I know some American. That's the life we lived in Syria, you know. So I want, you know, to you know, just this message that delivered from us to the American people. We love the American life, you know. This is the free land and the land of freedom, you know, of graves. This is the America. This is what America in our minds, you know, in our dreams. So we pleased him to help our babies, you know. If some senators, you know, just before sleep, just look in his baby's eyes, you know, and imagine our babies, how they sleep in fear, you know. I swear to you, you know, so many times, you know, my babies do something at night from afraid. They're so afraid. If you knock my door, my babies will cry from fear, you know. They think some troops came to us.
Right. Listen, you are fighting a very good fight. I support you. I will do my best to support you. I want to thank you for risking your life, for coming here on the Inside Scoop, for sharing your story. And it's my hope that everyone listening to my voice right now, listening to your voice, everyone listening to WEACT Radio, 1480 AM, everyone who's hearing this on the internet, will call your member of Congress. It's easy to do. Just pick up the phone, dial 202-224-3121. And that will get you to the White House, to the Capitol switchboard. Ask for your member of Congress and tell them that you want the president, that you want American arms to go to the Free Syrian Army, that you want to help with a no-fly zone, that we should help save people so they're not massacred again. Majid, I can't thank you enough. Be brave. Be safe. Please protect yourself. And I will do what I can do on my end to help you in your cause. Thank you again.
Thanks for what you said. Thanks for you.
I appreciate that. I do have three other women who I know want to be heard. I'm going to take a very quick break at the top of the hour at 2 o'clock. And then we'll come back with Fatima and Najah and Rima perhaps as well. And they're going to share with us some more news of what's going on in Syria and what the United States can do to help. Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. This is Mark Levine. If you are just joining us, you have missed some really powerful words from someone who may not live to see tomorrow. I didn't give his real name on purpose. The pseudonym he gave was Majid. He is someone working with the Free Syrian Army, fighting for freedom in Syria. And you heard the horrific stories about children. He calls them his babies, but children, his own children, other people's children being massacred, being raped, people who are simply fighting peacefully. I mean, remember how this started, folks. This did not start with a civil war. This started with people peacefully marching in the streets and asking for a chance to speak freely in their country, and they're being mowed down. And Majid is absolutely right. There is no excuse. We are the most powerful country in the world. It will not require invasion. I do not want to invade Syria. I do not support the invasion of Iraq. But it seems to me that for relatively simple, low cost, we can help, just like we did in Syria, help the Syrian people fight themselves. Majid is risking his life. His life is on the line. And all he asks is for a little bit of arms and a little bit of air power to help him take back his country. And you heard what he said. This is not about an Islamic revolution. This is about freedom and democracy. As he pointed out, there was a Christian, there was a Druze, there were Muslims who's controlled Syria. This is simply people fighting for their freedom. And I think it's shameful the United States has not stepped in. And I really hope that we step in soon. All right, I've got three women in my studio. We've been waiting because I wanted to take that very important call from Syria first. But sitting here, and I'm actually not giving their full names either because I want to do my best to protect everyone. But we have Nadia and Fatima and Rima here. And Nadia is doing the translation because her English is best. Tell me, Nadia, what else you wanted to say. I interrupted you to get to Majid, but please go ahead.
That's okay. Thank you very much for having us today.
Sure.
And I'm so glad that you were able to talk to someone from inside Syria.
Me too.
It's really important to hear their voices and hear their opinions. I needed to mention something about that Senator McCain and Lieberman, even though I am a Democrat and I voted for Mr. Obama, President Obama, God bless him, but I just want to say they made a visit to Turkey and they checked the camps, the Syrian camps in Turkey, and they did suggest something to the Americans, but the president refused that idea, which was to have hit a certain point in Syria, important places and spots in Syria, and that's all what we needed. We don't want you to bomb Syria. Just bomb those important points to
where the government,
the military, the military base. That's all what we need. Why is it so difficult for United States to do that?
I don't think it's difficult for us militarily. I think it's difficult for us politically. I think there are Americans who don't know the Middle East very well, who could not tell you where Iraq or Afghanistan or Syria or Libya or Egypt are on a map, and because, frankly, George W. Bush, I think, did a very stupid thing in invading Iraq, I think a lot of Americans on the left and the right are very squeamish about American military action. I agree with you. I think that when people are being massacred and we don't have to invade a country, we can simply help people defend themselves, that we should do so. That's why I supported our intervention in Libya along with England and France. And if Russia and China don't support it, then they don't support it. We don't need their help. We just need them to get out of the way. That's my view, but as you know, that's not right now the majority view in a country that's focused on the economy and the elections and everything else.
Another thing I need to clarify, not to scare the Americans about this idea, they thinking that Muslims are going to take over.
There is that fear. Particularly because
and
in Egypt, the Islamic Brotherhood is...
I need to tell you something.
Yes.
The Muslim Brotherhood in 2005 is totally different than the Muslim Brotherhood in 2012. Why they're different? They learn from their mistakes. They're more organized, more powerful, and more flexible. They're not as what you think, the Sharia law that we are afraid of. Look, Libya right now, Yemen... Egypt and Tunisia. Most of when the votes, the democracy, they got rid of their old regime. What happened? The Muslim Brotherhood won, right? Because this is a free country
right now.
And
Egypt.
Okay. Do we see any Sharia law happen so far?
Well, not yet. We don't know. There's a presidential election coming up next month. Let me say something I found very interesting. Very interesting to me.
Yeah.
And that was when Majid said that Hezbollah, mm-hmm, was forming the snipers. And the reason I find this is so interesting is I knew Iran was aiding Syria. That's mm-hmm, that's pretty common knowledge. People know that. But Hezbollah is interesting because they're an Iranian-funded terrorist group. They control the country of Lebanon. Mm-hmm. And yet they tend to be very closely connected with the Muslim Brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you find in this case, mm-hmm, they're attacking the Syrian people. So if Hezbollah is attacking the Syrian people, that suggests to me that the Free Syrian Army, which is fighting Hezbollah, that if we help them, they are not going to be friends of Hezbollah. They're not going to be friends of the Muslim Brotherhood.
I assure you of that. They will be a new democratic generation in Syria. We are going to be building the American dream in the Middle East if we support the Syrian revolution right now. We're making a big mistake by just standing on the side and just watching them in a cold blood getting killed every day, all these Syrian children and all these women getting raped, and we're not doing anything about it.
Now, you know, Nadia, the Obama administration, on the surface, says things very positive about Assad's regime is terrible and has to go and everything.
But we need actions.
But that's right. What they that they leak to the press, these are the things they say privately that they don't give a name to, is they're concerned that they don't quite know who the Syrian resistance is. They're afraid that the Syrian resistance might be not so good. And so my hope is by bringing people like you, people like Majid on the air, is to show the good faith of the Syrian resistance.
I mean, tell the Americans, how do I look like? I cover my hair.
Yes, yes.
And I am a Syrian American.
Yes.
And here I am speaking freely.
Yes.
And I am just one of those million of Syrian women that they just like me. I want to assure the American people, the new government that is going to come up if this revolution win is going to be democratic. I am assuring you of that. It's going to be much, much better. This Assad regime for the last 45 years isolated Syria totally from the rest of the world. All what they were doing is brainwashing these people against their neighbors and against everybody else's. They didn't want them to be educated. They didn't want them. They have now a lot of people. This new generation we have, why the Arabic Spring is blowing and blooming in Syria? Because 60 to 70% are 20 to 40 years old. This is amazing. They all into internet and Facebook. And that's why the idea of they watch America, how free it is. They believe in those beliefs that we believe in United States. And we don't want to kill that dream. Why we want to kill that dream? We want that dream to come up because more peaceful things are, better things are going to happen. I assure you, the future for our children and grandchildren in Syria are going to affect the surrounding area as well. So if we let that revolution win, everybody else will benefit from it, not only Syria or the Syrian people themselves.
So people listening right now to the radio, what can just some American who's driving in his car, in her car, hears the awful truth that you have shared, that Majid has shared, wants to help, what can they do? Call Congress, call the president, write them, ask them? What are we asking for?
We are asking for helping the Syrians as much as possible. If we don't want to be into a war, which I agree, we don't want to be bombing Syria because the Syrian people had enough, and their economy has already been destroyed. We know that from the sanctions and everything else. We need to provide them with the elementary things like medicine. They don't have basic things right now.
So it's not just bullets. It's just medicine and food.
They need medicine. They need food. Mm-hmm. There's some people are dying from diseases right now, dangerous diseases. They are isolated. They're getting tortured. They're dead bodies for weeks and months in the street. I mean, imagine how terrible. It's not only about just snipers and shooting people. What you're getting information from those eyewitnesses is 5% from the reality what's going on in Syria. And I'm telling you, it's worse than Bosnia. Worse. It's much worse.
I think it is because I think that's why Assad won't allow the journalists in. In 1982, this Assad's father, Hafez Assad, put down a revolt in the city of Hama, which I believe is the fourth largest city in Syria.
Yes.
And 20 to 40,000 people, we still don't know the number, were massacred. He actually took this ancient, ancient city and raised it to the ground so that the city would cease
flat
to exist. And so few people even know about that. And it tells you that when these things are not reported, when journalists are not allowed, then sometimes it's like it didn't happen. And one of the things that I try to do on the Inside Scoop and we try to do here at We Act Radio is to expose truth wherever it is, wherever it's coming from, so that people know the atrocities that are going on in the world. And I got to tell you, I want to thank you, all three of you,
thank
for
you
coming here. I want to thank you for helping me get in touch with Majid, who was very powerful. What do you have to say?
Thank you very much. I also want to mention that Mrs. Clinton was in Turkey in March 1st. The Security Council and the people of Syria, the revolutionists, mentioned to her, and they even gave to Mr. Ford, the ambassador of the Americans.
Yes.
In Syria, they gave them reports about what's going on, the reality, the facts. They needed help. They were promised they're going to get help. So far, since March 1st till now, nothing happened.
Yeah.
The Red Cross is not entering Syria to help.
Right. Assad won't allow them in. I'll tell you, I think that what happens in a lot of these cases is Assad and other dictators like that, they try to buy time. And so they say, oh, we'll accept this, we'll accept this. We'll have a few monitors. The monitors come in and they do nothing. We'll have a ceasefire, mm-hmm. and then there's no ceasefire.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, it's only going to stop. The violence is only going to stop when the United States and England and France and European powers come in there like we did in Libya. And I know that people don't, it sounds like another war, but at the end of the day, we don't have to have any American troops on the ground. All we need, the Syrian people are fighting for their freedom. They're dying for their freedom.
We need to help them with it.
They just need a little help from us, a little bit of air power, and that could make the difference. I want to thank all three of you.
Thank you.
From the bottom of my heart.
Thank you, Mark.
This will be on the internet. You'll be able to play this and use this interview however you want to, and hopefully we'll get some support for your cause. Thank you all three for coming here on the Inside
Scoop.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to switch to another topic in the Middle East that you don't want to miss, that I'll tell you about as soon as we come back. If you want to call in, it's 202-889-9797, 202-889-9797. We'll be right back after this.